It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Heat from the Earth's core could help eliminate carbon pollution through geothermal power. And new technologies used in oil and gas drilling could be a breakthrough for renewable energy. Mike in Madison is asking us to explore the potential here in Wisconsin for geothermal exchange systems. And you can call in with a question or share comments at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Yufeng Lin is Principal Research Hydrologist for the Illinois State Geological Survey. Yufeng, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you very much, Kay. Happy to be here.
Yes, there is some breakthrough in drilling by fracturing rock to expand the areas where geothermal energy and heating are possible. How is geothermal technology changing?
Well, actually, geothermal energy is a very broad term. And based on the Department of Energy's report, actually, there are about 11 different applications in our country which are feasible. And then to use the hot geothermal energy to generate power, it's just one of the 11. And some people say it's for everywhere because, I mean, no matter where you are on Earth, you all reach the core. It's just a matter of the distance, how mm-hmm. deep you got to go, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, but the challenge is how deep you need to go to that temperature, and do we have the physical drilling technology available or not?
Do we have the ability to drill that far in order to get to that type of heat temperature? And that is where I think that we're seeing some technological breakthroughs. Is that right?
Yeah, that's just one of the aspects on using geothermal resources. I like to say resources. It doesn't necessarily need to be power generation. So in our country here, West Coast, East Coast, they do have some area and which is very favorable because their heat source is very much closer to surface than Midwest area. In Midwest area, we got to really go very deep, and which might not be feasible for the current technology with reasonable cost.
But you also say that the Midwest is a sweet spot for geothermal heat exchange. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, sure. And so geothermal heat exchange, which is different than using geothermal for the power generation. So basically, we are using almost constant temperature in the subsurface and to do the heat exchange. So for example, let's say in Wisconsin, you have, like say, that summer 90 degree, winter minus 10, and the whole year long, you try to use energy to convert this 100 degree difference into your comfort zone. Let's say, Kate, your house, let's say 70 degree.
Mm-hmm.
You are using the energy, try to convert that 100 degree range into 70 all year long. But think about in Wisconsin, I think it's about 55 degree in the subsurface. So somehow it can exchange your heat, the need you heat from outside, and then make it 55 degree and then bring it up to your room. And you only need to adjust 15 degrees. And that's why you save a lot of energy on that. So it's not really using a geothermal as the source to produce electricity, but it can use for your indoor heating and cooling.
And
that's the idea. Yep.
Yes. And these exchange systems, they can be like a direct exchange. They can be like a closed loop system. There are different systems in exchange. Can you give us a little bit of a primer on what that means in these systems to get to underneath to you know, access the geothermal exchange system?
Yes. So you're correct. And there are many different options for using geothermal exchange method for indoor heating and cooling. And some of them use for like a greenhouse, for the industrial usage. And so you mentioned some very technical term, closed loop and open loop.
Mm-hmm.
And that depends on how you transfer the heat using the liquid inside your pipe system. So closed loop, which means that you have the liquid inside the pipe and you never go out of the loop. And so you won't have any exchange with subsurface material or your groundwater system. Open loop is, as you say, open. So it could extract the groundwater and then using the groundwater as exchange media and then put it back to aquifer system on that. So those are two of the many examples we can use. And then such as some of the work we are doing with U.S. Geological Survey, we call it underground thermal storage. So basically, use subsurface to store heat or cool. So you can have more heat to use during the wintertime, and you have more cool to use during the summertime.
In terms of groundwater sources and aquifers, the New York Times reports many American regions are using groundwater sources faster than they are able to naturally replenish. How could depleting groundwater affect geothermal exchange?
And actually, it could. And so in the groundwater system in the Midwest area, which is one of the reasons I call we are on a hot spot here, because if your subsurface is saturated with groundwater or is dry, that could change the geothermal exchange efficiency more than 10 times. So that's why in the Midwest area, like Wisconsin, like Illinois, like Minnesota, we have very abundant groundwater system, and which give us really this advantage to have a very favorable geological condition to do the geothermal exchange. So when the groundwater depleted, and that efficiency is going to be decreased.
Yufeng Lin is Principal Research Hydrologist at the Illinois State Geological Survey. Our guide to how geothermal systems are in use, geothermal exchange here in Wisconsin. You can be part of the discussion, calling in with a question, sharing a comment at 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. A renewable energy effort is underway to unlock vast amounts of geothermal energy from Earth's crust. And we learn about the viability of geothermal systems as a renewable power source in Wisconsin. Call in with the question, share comments at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Yufeng Lin is Principal Research Hydrologist at the Illinois State Geological Survey. Yufeng, Epic Systems here in Dane County has one of the largest geothermal exchange systems in the Midwest. What can you tell us about their facilities?
Oh, Epic System is very well known in our field. And as a hydrogeologist, I got a privilege to work with some scientists in Wisconsin from Wisconsin State Survey and also UW Medicine. So they took me to the Epic and to visit their facility. And you can see, I mean, the Epic is a world-class company. And then their work needs a lot of indoor heating and cooling, and then their data center also need a cooling capacity.
Oh, they have so many servers in their data areas that need cooling, I would imagine.
That definitely is one of the functions of their work on that. And so by using geothermal exchange system, that really saved them a lot of electricity usage. For that, and last time I visited, they had more than 7,000 boreholes, and borehole, which means using a closed loop, and to use that loop, that borehole as an exchanger, and to reduce their electricity usage of that.
So drilling 7,000 boreholes, and you know, that is one company. I mean, if we scale up in a big way, could all that drilling for geothermal exchange systems? Could that cause tremors?
Yeah, so right now for the geothermal exchange system, drilling is the majority of the cost.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why our team here, and we also work with Wisconsin Geological Survey. Dave Hart is our main contact scientist, and Jim Tension from UW-Madison. We have been working on to understand subsurface better, and so in order to eliminate unnecessary drilling cost. So for example, in Illinois, University of Illinois, Champaign-Urbana campus, we recently have a new building called Campus Instructional Facility. An original design to use geothermal, they need 60 boreholes in the original design.
Mm-hmm.
And then after we use our study to pinpoint exactly what's the material in the subsurface, and then the groundwater flow, groundwater depths, and then they will be able to cut down from 60 boreholes to 40 boreholes. So the payback year for the system original was 40 years, and mm-hmm. then they cut down to 28 years. And that system saved University of Illinois about $45,000 on heating and cooling every year.
Wow. Wow. Let's take a call. Jeff in Delafield. Jeff, hi.
Yes, good morning. My understanding is that vertical wells are an option for a closed-loop system in a residential situation. If a larger home has three heating systems, three furnaces, three air conditioners, is it possible to have a set of vertical wells and have a closed loop system that services all three of those heating systems?
Jeff, thank you for your call. And definitely. And so that's why right now the geothermal system installation company, they will take a look at the size of your house, your need, and then they will help you to determine how many boreholes you need. But in the residential area, the challenge usually is not how many boreholes or how many heat pump you need. The challenge usually is the regulation. Mm-hmm. Because when you drill your boreholes and in different states, they have different regulation on how far you need to be, let's say how far of your borehole need to be from your piping system or your septic system or your sewage system on that. So a lot of residential installation is limited by your subsurface, your utility infrastructure.
Yes, along those lines, Wisconsin's DNR says you need a drilling permit to build heat exchange systems in our state. How do states handle regulations around drilling on your residential property?
That's a very good question, Kate. So every state has different regulation on that. So, for example, in Illinois, we are regulated by public health. And so New York, they have a very different regulation on that. So that's my short answer. Every mm-hmm. state is different.
Yufeng Lin is principal research hydrologist at the Illinois State Geological Survey. As we look at the potential for geothermal power and how geothermal exchange systems work, you can join in with your questions at 800-642-1234. How practical is installing geothermal exchange systems for residential homes today, Yufeng?
Well, it's not that difficult. So basically, the technology for the residential installation is very similar as drilling your the water wells. Mm-hmm. So actually, a lot of geothermal drillers are the same drillers from water wells, although different states might require different license. And usually the water well driller probably has more requirement than the geothermal driller, because if you want to drill groundwater and for drinking, and that definitely need to be regulated even more.
The 2022 Inflation Reduction Act has clean energy credits that could cover up to 30% of the cost of installing geothermal systems. How impactful is that tax credit?
And I think that's very helpful for people to understand this is a good options for the indoor heating and cooling. Because again, as I mentioned earlier, the majority of the installation cost is on the drilling, and then it's the front end cost. And that's why if you own a system with significant time, let's say 10 years, you probably already got your money back. So that's why a lot of people don't want to invest it because of the front cost is much higher, although the maintenance and later cost on using electricity, everything else is much, much lower. So that creative difference will help people increase people's incentive to do this.
Yufeng, in our final minute together, how does geothermal fit into our country's transition to cleaner energy compared to other projects like solar and wind power?
Well, in my point of view, I might have bias because I do research on this, but I do believe it is a very, very feasible solution for us because, I mean, we are using Earth as our heating and cooling buffer, and which is the basically, it's unlimited resource for us.
And could these exchange systems provide 100% of, say, a home's heating and cooling needs?
And that depends on the area and also the need. And that's why I say the Midwest is really a hot spot, a sweet spot for us to do this, because we have a very favorable weather pattern, geology, and also our usage of the day. So for example, we have hot summer, cold winter, and which geothermal system, we can even during the summertime when we do this, we increase the subsurface a little bit more so we can have higher temperature to start during the winter time and vice versa. And then our weather pattern, we have some cold summer, we have hot summer and cold winter too.
Yufeng, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
Yufeng Lin is Principal Research Hydrologist for the Illinois State Geological Survey. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.